And we're back with the A-List Lowdown. After taking a week off, traveling through the good old U.S. of A. And enjoying a little freedom. And purchasing power, I noticed for the first time in a while. I definitely noticed that fuel and a few other things are quite noticeably cheaper in the States. And other things are just the same. So, you know, but there is a few price breaks down there. It was a good trip. But we're back with Eurovision A and Operation Buffalo coming at you end of June. I mean, I guess it's a big deal. This is June 27th, but it's like a big long weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Big, I guess. Yeah, it's a big long. Well, it's Tuesday, so they make it probably lots of people making a 4-day weekend, but I guess the stat still falls on Tuesday. I was getting all mixed up because it's been a while since I had a real job, and I was like, the stat, what date is the stat? Does the stat get shifted? But I guess the stat is always Tuesday, right? But then some companies.
No, well, the stat's just, it jumps around.
Yeah. So it's always, I mean, it's always, it would always be Tuesday for everybody this year. And then.
Oh yeah. But I just like, probably like it's half the people are taken
Monday off. Would we have given people Monday off and had them work on Tuesday? No, right? You can't do that, right?
You can, depending on where you are and what sites are open, just due to the nature of the business.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah.
Make a deal. Most people will just take it, probably not paid. You know, you get paid for one of them, but you got 2 days off. It doesn't really cost the company any more money.
Yeah, yeah, right.
But everyone gets an extra break. So I wouldn't even have realized it, but I was talking to my buddy Kale, and he's like, yeah, big long weekend coming up. I was like, my life's a long weekend.
I know. Dude, I work every day. It doesn't matter if it's a weekend or not. I just work every day.
Yeah, it's like every day, like Friday before a long weekend all the time.
If I'm not going to work here, I'm going to be working on the house, right, or something. So it's like I got to do something productive.
Yeah,
it is weird though. It's very strange.
It's a bit weird.
And I was thinking, we took that time off, and I'm like, I've saved up all this stuff, but then there's so much going on, like so much recent news, and I'm always having a hard time deciding like what to bring to the table here, because it's like, do I go and do a deeper deconstruction or just like look at some of the latest stuff that's happening, like literally today, you know, Trump shutting down Carney for that digital tax thing, and you know, right after Carney's doing his Euro signaling. And then I thought, we need to just do an episode where we go through the OECD numbers. I was playing around that the other night. Remember we had Tony Heller on the other show and he was showing us those graphs and all the stuff that he was building in that software. And I was in the OECD
description.
Yeah. And it was like, we got to go through and just do an episode, Canada versus the OECD, and just go through and play around the website and just show all the graphs.
Well, I don't have the thing, but they say we're in for another decade of decline. I don't even see how that's possible.
It's unbelievable. And he's just no budget, but they're going to spend $200 billion. I had your assistant sort of do an analysis on like, if we were spending 200 something billion extra without a budget, like what would that be if we were the States? It's ridiculous.
What would it be?
Like if the States did, I mean, this was amazing. I asked this long question and your assistant comes back with like the perfect analysis. You know, it's exactly what I wanted. Basically, they said that's like 41% of the total federal spending. And as a percentage of our GDP, it's 10%. So this 220 billion that they're throwing around without a budget, like we're going to just increase it. That's 10%.
Is that what we're up to now of additional spending already?
Yeah, I think so. So then I said, well, how does that compare if we were the States using that same percentage kind of thing? And it would be 2.77 trillion in equivalent spending, and 10% of GDP would be 2.92 trillion, so almost 3 trillion. If the States was just to do the same thing, like, oh, we're going to throw 10% extra on it, it would be almost 3 trillion.
You get 9/11 over those kind of numbers. Well, speaking of numbers, I'll jump in with this clip here. Some of this stuff you guys might have seen, sometimes you haven't. We'll see. We might be a little behind this week because I was having trouble distinguishing what I have done already and what I haven't. But let's jump over to this one. This is about some Ontario school boards that have just been squandering money, just talking about like money disappearing. So
that's what I was trying to find the last episode.
This one?
No, not this clip, but maybe it was the ex post version of this, but it was something about, like, remember I was saying it was like hundreds of millions? And it's hard to believe that the school board would be losing or spending or wasting that much money.
And they're, because it's big school boards. It's not like some little town up over Ontario.
When I think of a school board, it's got like three high schools and, you know, 15 elementary schools in there, you know.
Now, this is going to be the Toronto school board, is on the list for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, can't hear it. Great. Good start.
Yeah.
And that's why today I'm announcing that I'm appointing supervisors to oversee the finances and operations of the following four boards: the Toronto District School Board, the Toronto Catholic District School Board, the Ottawa Carleton District School Board, and the Dufferin Peel Catholic District School Board. Now, recent financial investigations have showed that these boards are running unsustainable deficits despite receiving...
Shouldn't it be shown?
What did he say?
Showed.
Similar stable funding as other boards across the province. All four investigations recommended immediate intervention. Now, these boards have had multiple opportunities to address their financial, their structural financial issues, and time and again, they have failed to do so. Parents and educators expect and deserve a school system where spending decisions put students first. When school boards fail to meet that basic obligation, it is my duty as Minister of Education to act. And that is why we are appointing supervisors with a clear mandate to get these boards back on track. And that's...
It'd be interesting to know, like, what exactly was going on. I haven't had a chance to dig into that. Now, right away, I would be the first one to say, hey, this sounds like them going after some right-wing schools, but because there was a couple Catholic schools in there. But, you know, as soon as Toronto is half of the problem and Ottawa's in there, it just sounds like typical. I default to typical bureaucratic thievery. Corruption.
Yeah, me too. Because, I mean, do you remember that segment we did a long time ago on the Ontario schools? I think it was Ontario, where they had a budget for renovations and upgrades and repair, and they went through all the schools that had flooding and they had, like, problems with air conditioning, and there was, you know, they had to put buckets around for when it rained. I mean, there was just, it looked like all kinds of maintenance that was not being done, even though they had these massive budgets for maintenance. And you're like, how can it be so incompetent that you have this budget, you have this
gaze?
But it makes you wonder, right? I mean, really, can you just not just fix the schools after all? We're in Canada and the kids can't even go to school without rain coming through the ceiling.
Guess how much money they get.
I 500 million.
Whoa, way more than that.
Really?
You want to try again?
I don't know. I mean, 2.5 billion, I guess. I don't know.
3.5 billion. Ugh. With 2.3 billion going to staff.
And only 1,000.2, so 1,200 million going to other stuff.
Yeah. They had a $4.5 billion. Shortfall in maintaining older school buildings.
Yeah, that's the stuff we were talking about before. A $4.5 billion shortfall?
Yes.
So they don't have the budget. Was I wrong then? That they don't have the budget and the money for the maintenance then?
What is going on?
I don't know, but I'm hearing something weird.
Yes, something's going on. But I don't know what is happening.
Well, it seemed like it was when you were clicking on something. So maybe close whatever you just opened.
I don't know. I found it.
Yeah, that seems better, yeah.
I found it. It was a little weird pop-up down in the corner. I mean, why would you do this to me? What if I was in an airport? Listening, I guess. Whatever. Anyway, what do you want to do? Do you want to do something? You want me to do something? I got an older one here I'd like to get to, but because we kind of covered it on the show before.
Okay, go ahead then.
Do you remember the tow truck driver fraud fiasco?
Oh my God, yes. 11 companies or something.
All in Edmonton, right?
Alberta. I'm beginning to get a really bad sense of what's about to happen with crime and corruption. Honestly, dude, I just feel like we're not bringing over their best.
Well, this is a little bit older, but it's relevant anyway, because maybe you never heard of it. So this is from Peel Now. Peel Police, this is from Table Salt. Peel Police just alleged organized crime bust, alleged organized crime tow truck gang extortion ring in Brampton now. 97 criminal charges laid related to criminal organization, extortion, fraud, firearms, and more. Half were already out on bail. Two of the charged have already been released. So here we are again, presented without comment. But, you know, not a lot of old stock Canadians kicking around this group. There's a bunch of Singhs, some Puris, some Bhopalis, some Chopras, bunch of Chopras.
I was going to say, did any of them sing when they were arrested?
There was this one chick here who was mixed up with a bad crowd. Probably. Anyway, so there's 18 more new Canadians to add to our organized crime extortion ring. Now down over in Peel by Brampton. I mean, Brampton, just by the numbers, you would expect this, I guess, but we saw the same thing in Edmonton. It seems weird. You go through two cities and, you know, 30 dudes and there's no, you know?
Yeah.
There's no,
well, I mean,
Canadians on there.
You said Edmonton. Well, did you get that warning from the Calgary police not too long ago, a couple weeks ago here?
What is it now? I can just.
Well, I mean, this is interesting because we both used to live there. I used to live there and you used to live very close. But we are warning Calgarians of a citywide trend regarding overnight residential break and enters. This is from the police themselves. In the last several weeks, we have received more than 30 reports from homeowners who have been victims of residential break and enters, most of which occurred between the hours of 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. while the victims were asleep inside their residence. So a nice way to scare the shit out of the people in Calgary. In many instances, it's believed that the thieves have entered homes by cutting through the screens of unlocked windows and in some cases gained entry through unlocked doors. Once inside, they often search for keys belonging to vehicles that are parked in the garage or in the driveway or the street nearby. More than 20 vehicles have been reported stolen in conjunction with these break-ins and incidents. The thieves are also targeting valuables, including purses, wallets, smaller electronics that are laying out in the open. While the investigation is ongoing, we are looking to alert homeowners and provide information on residential break-and-enter prevention. Know your neighborhood and report, blah, 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 vehicles, license plate, blah, blah. So that's just giving some phone numbers and stuff like that. And it's, I don't know, it's just brutal, dude, that I can't believe where it was since the 80s and 90s, we're in a spot where crime is worse and people are getting more scared in their neighborhoods. And then also in Calgary, did you get this one?
Oh, boy. Banning non-lethal weapons so you can't have it? I can't hear it.
You can't hear any of that?
I can't hear it.
Oh, wow. It was really loud, too. I thought that's what you were talking about. All right. So what am I supposed to do here again? I'm going to stop sharing. I'm going to present, make sure that I have the tab audio on and off. Click that thing. What?
Yeah, click the button.
I know, but it was already on, so I just like toggled it back.
I can't hear it. Is the volume down maybe on the Twitter toggle there?
I can't hear it. What?
I can't hear it.
Okay.
What are the, is there volume down maybe?
No, it's cranked. It's like coming through too loud for me. I'm going to share the Chrome tab instead and see if that helps.
Boom, boom, boom.
Okay, here we go.
Good afternoon. Safety concerns prompting the city and police to take action today. The city amending a bylaw. Focused on weapons and bear spray.
I can't hear you when you talk when it's playing. What's that?
Bit loud now.
Yeah.
While Calgary police are warning about an increase in crimes being committed with air guns. Kevin Fleming joins us with more. And Kevin, complaint calls are rising and police are concerned.
That's right, Camilla. In 2024, police say that 817 of those air guns have been seized. And in the first 5 months of this year, 333 of those same air guns have been seized. Now, Calgary Police Service says it's getting at least one call a day regarding these realistic-looking guns and has had as many as eight in one day. And every time the calls come in, officers have to respond with caution, and it typically involves multiple units to ensure public safety. And those officers are using real guns. Police say most people don't know, but it is illegal to fire air guns within the city limits.
So do you know why? Like, why would they be getting a call for an air gun? Like, what is that? Like, somebody catches somebody else using a gun? Or, like, how are they getting calls for? Or are there crimes committed with guns and they find out later they're air guns? Or what's going on?
Well, this happened in my town where someone driving by seen some kids playing with a pistol pellet gun and called the cops, and it turned into a whole huge fiasco.
What's an air gun, actually?
A pellet gun. Okay. A pellet gun.
Just a real fancy looking pellet gun that looks real.
Here's one.
Okay.
And it's asking for help from parents to let their children.
So just way to get us canceled there.
What?
Way to get us canceled.
Yeah, it's the same pellet gun that's on your clip.
I know. There's a big problem with these guns now. They're getting confiscated. 333.
I'm not in Calgary.
No, the dangers of carrying one of these guns to school or to show their friends.
And really, what we're asking for here is to educate, but we need the support of community members and parents and supervisors, because no one here wants to enforce our way out of this.
Now, the amendments to the city's public behavior bylaw means that bylaw officers, if they see somebody with one of these weapons, they can now fine them up to $250. And that includes things like knives, an axe, a machete, a baseball bat, even a saw. And it also includes noxious substances like bear spray, pepper spray, or even chemical sprays that can cause harm. Now, the city says with these amendments, it will enhance public safety throughout the city. Camilla?
Thank you very much, Kevin. A plan to expand and pave the parking lot at Edworthy Park. Good afternoon. Safety concern.
Well, I mean, what do you think about that? Implementing new bylaw banning non-lethal weapons like airsoft guns, bear spray. The city of Calgary implements new bylaw. Calistan, see, this is the point. I'd like to read
the bylaw. So does that mean you can't even buy it? You can't even own it? Because you already couldn't shoot it.
Right.
You can't carry it around.
And baseball bats. But don't worry, Calistanis can still wield their swords in the streets.
Because I'm allowed to have my shotgun in Calgary, you know?
Let's listen to this, because this is kind of... Oh, no, I was going to go to this later on.
Let me finish this. I got a follow-up to yours. I'll follow up nicely. Because, well, Mayor Gondek and our communist Calgary government are saying that. I mean, most people probably heard this already, but here's what Doug Ford's saying over in Ontario.
Did you hear about the guy that these thugs came up, you know, ready to steal his car? They're all in their masks and everything. So I guess he was a hunter or something. He shot up in the air. I don't recommend that, by the way. But he gets charged. I got to find out this guy's name and number, and I'm going to hold a fundraiser for lawyer fees for him. He should get a medal for standing up. It's like down in the U.S., we should have the castle law. Someone breaks into your house, and I know any of these people here, someone breaks into your house, and they're coming after your kids, and you're coming after your spouse, you're going to fight like you've never fought before. You're going to use anything that you have, be it weapons, baseball bats, knives. You're protecting these thugs shouldn't be coming in there.
All the things in Gondek just banned.
I'm so glad you brought this clip, because everybody was freaking out after, what's wrong with Doug? Where's the old Doug and all that? Because all of a sudden, I think something happened to him, right? Where he got threatened, and all of a sudden he's bringing up these castle laws. And then he said something else about, what was it? Was it, he said something against the woke, and then he was forced to apologize.
I think that was the Indian stuff.
Yeah. Oh, it was the Indian stuff. Yeah, they're coming hat in hand. And
yeah, we've had enough of you buggers. Yeah, X won't let me stream unless I pay him money. I didn't realize that was a thing. I just noticed it the other day. So you got to at least pay him something or you can't stream.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Rat bastards. So, okay, what we got? Let's see what we can go to. Let's jump over to, here's just a fun one. I mean, I don't know. Some people might think it's fun. The music doesn't match the clip, but maybe you seen this one, maybe you didn't.
Yeah.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday. And right now, you can save £50.
So just a clip of a guy, £50 off for a family of four. New Canadian on the subway. Of the, that looks like it's in Calgary.
No, I think it's Toronto, I think, yeah.
Anyway, it's on the bus in Toronto, and but he's got his shirt off, scrubbing up, sudding himself up, his armpits, and he's just going to town. I mean, it's a real shame.
Got to give the guy like 100% for initiative. I mean, he's just...
Hey, at least he's cleaning himself up. Right?
I mean, he knows he's stinking, and he's like cleaning himself. He's making an effort. Maybe he's got a job interview or something, you know?
Yeah, because
maybe he's going to that lineup in Brampton that's all the way around the block for two positions in the store.
Your kid can't get one, but he got one. I meant that metaphorically, but I guess it works either way.
The city of Toronto.
Here's another one for you. Back to the city of Toronto. Here's some of the stuff they're doing with all that money they're stealing.
In the summertime, I love taking my daughters out for a swim. And the city of Toronto has a lot of fantastic public pools. It's actually one of the best recreation services that we offer. But when it's hot out, the pools have to be open, full stop. Now, yesterday, with a humidex of over 40 degrees, the city of Toronto was actually locking people out. They were turning people away from our public pools. And the reason? Because it was too hot. Only in the city of Toronto would they close pools because it's too hot. You can't make this stuff up. Just like the snow fiasco earlier this year, the mayor got caught unprepared for the summer weather that we experience every year. You know, we knew this heat wave was coming. Other cities like Atlanta, Chicago, Montreal, or closer to home, Mississauga, they were prepared. They didn't have to close things down. Why did Toronto? It's a pretty consistent theme that we've seen over the past couple of years. Torontonians are paying more and they're getting less. This is just the most recent example. And in what has become typical fashion, Mayor Chiao is trying to duck and dodge and blame somebody else. In this case, the Premier of Ontario. But Premier Ford made it pretty clear this was Mayor Chiao's decision.
That's up to the mayor and the city councillors to determine that. But I can tell you one thing, they've never had more financial support ever in the history of Toronto.
The mayor also tried to claim today that, quote, the pools were technically open, but had a closure period. Come on, really? You think people are stupid? It's time to take some leadership, stand up, some responsibility for the situation, and stop passing the buck. Making sure the pools are open when it's hot out isn't rocket science. It's common sense. We need real leadership, real accountability, and a city that actually works.
Brad Bradford. Oh, that's so funny. I mean, I can't. It's almost too crazy to believe, but I thought that was going to be the clip of those, all those guys that are fully dressed in the shade of the tree looking at all the people in the pool area. Did you see that one?
Yeah, apparently you were right. We got they shut down the YouTube stream.
What do you mean?
They removed the YouTube live stream for violating.
Right now?
Yeah.
It looks like it's still going up.
I don't think it is. My mom texted me a picture of it saying, if we violated the community guidelines.
It's unbelievable. We're just playing a news clip. I mean, and you're holding up your fake.
Well, I'm showing the same thing they're showing in the news clip so that the viewers can get a show of what they look like. You know, this is what we're talking about. I would say that what we're doing falls under news, doesn't it?
We're not even talking about Dr. Uggs or anything.
You're allowed to show guns on YouTube. I mean, I watch videos of people shooting pork bellies all the time. Anyway.
Is there something else we did, do you think?
I can't think anything else we did.
Oh, we're already dealing with this. It's so...
I'm sure...
Well, I've got that clip of Doug Ford putting his foot in his mouth. Do you want me to say that?
Sure. Might
so, as well. I found it. It's in my old thing here. Let's see what Doug Ford had to say. This is from Notalia, pretty hardcore on X here. She says, and then she's forwarding table salts, which says Doug Ford dares to say what no politician has ever said.
Like handing an opportunity on a silver.
Oh, I really don't like the volume button on X. It's so frustrating to use. Oh, that helps. Just click on it and it goes all the way up. Okay, I'll try that next time.
Like handing an opportunity on a silver platter to First Nations that I, by the way, I have treated like gold. And over again, the chiefs, national chiefs, the regional chiefs, other chiefs have told me we've never had more access to a premier ever, as long as they can remember. So like I tell Rickford all the time, I should be the Minister of Indigenous Affairs because I get calls every single day. And when I first came into office, I told Minister Rickford, treat them all, give them what they need, whatever they want for them to prosper. But there's going to be a point that you can't just keep coming hat in hand all the time to the government. You've got to be able to take care of yourselves. And when you literally have gold mines, nickel mines, every type of critical mineral that the world wants, and you're saying, no, I don't want to touch that. By the way, give me money. Not going to happen. It's simple. It will help them develop the mines and become very prosperous in their communities, something they've never had ever in their entire lives. And I'm bending over backwards to make sure we take care of them. But it's a two-way street here. And so I look forward to the meeting, actually. I've met a lot of them. I think I've met all of them many times.
I think it's interesting because isn't that wrong anyways? Because they can't just do that on their land, right? They don't really own the land, right? These reserves that they have the mines on. Like the treaties won't allow them to just make mines and make money off of mines, will they?
Yeah, well, it seems like they want to. It's hard to say.
They want to do that?
Seems like the government might.
Anyways, he had to apologize for that.
You want to hear what YouTube said?
Yeah.
Content that shows someone live streaming while holding, handling, or transporting a firearm is not allowed on YouTube. So I guess you can't do it live.
Did we get a strike or anything like that, or?
I don't know.
Way to go. I can't believe I called that too. Like, you're grabbing the fake gun.
You called it. You can't do that.
Well, and, I mean, I just heard some of our compatriots that I was going to play some clips of, and she's saying Dr. Uggs instead of, you know, D-R-U-G-S in a full word. I mean, this is the silly game we have to play here in Canada.
I don't think it'll be a strike because it's like a YouTube thing. It's a live stream thing. It's a live stream violation. So we can even play that, the replay of that video, and it's fine, but they don't want anyone holding guns live because, you know, we can assume why.
Swatting and stuff like that.
Well, it could go crazy in a couple different directions live on YouTube if they allow that sort of thing. So that's, I mean, the Uggle cut that fast. Right?
Yeah.
How did it know? Bam, gun. Shut her down.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. I didn't think they'd shut it down. I thought they'd just strike us later on or something, you know. But
they shut her down. But we'll be back. It'll be up later. We'll just have to upload it now. See what they say. Anyway, do you want me to do my, have you heard of Operation Buffalo?
No.
Well, this is going to blow your mind. And so this is a local story as well. See what you think.
Trembath at Sutina Nation. A warning to viewers, this report includes subject matter that could be triggering.
Really like that beginning, right? Did the news used to start with that?
Nation. A warning to viewers, this report includes subject matter that could be triggering, involving the alleged exploitation of young people here. 9 men have been charged in connection to human trafficking. The charges include child luring and an invitation to sexual.
How can it distinguish between the person who's live holding the gun and the dude in the clip?
Yeah, I don't know.
Touching of a person under 16, The men were first arrested last month as a result of Project Buffalo, a joint undercover operation launched by the Sutina Nation Police and Calgary Police, posing online as a 15-year-old Indigenous girl.
Approximately 3 days that we were had an operation on the go. So we were pretty overwhelmed and surprised that we received over 5,500 hits to the platform that we were on.
During that investigation...
Can you imagine that?
What, you put a fake profile up of a 15-year-old girl, you get 5,500 hits?
Yeah.
What platform do you think?
I'd like to know.
And police say they also uncovered instances in which people arranged meetings to obtain sexual services from minors.
We have a really strong community, and we really want to let people know that we're policing our borders both physically, both online, and we need to do our job continuously to educate our youth as young as the age of 5 years old, 6 years old, as soon as they start going online.
Blake says Project Buffalo is going beyond its mandate to investigate human trafficking concerns from community members.
We are being aggressive in our approach now, and we're showing those people that are luring and exploiting our children is that we're paying attention to you too.
None of the people charged are Nation members. Blake says another Project Buffalo operation is set to take place in the fall, but didn't provide any details. Terry Frembath, CBC News, Sutina Nation.
Whoa, so hang on a sec. Is that Sutina?
Yeah.
In Calgary? Like,
yeah.
Wow. So they have their own police force, but the province can't have their own?
The province can have their own.
Well, I thought Daniel was trying to push for that, but it wouldn't, they weren't allowing it to happen or something.
Well, Quebec and Ontario got it done. I mean, I think it's just a matter of doing it. Like, I don't know what the parameters are, but I would assume that if those two places can do it, that it's just, it's like the pension thing. Like, who do we have to ask? You're in charge. You're in charge with the majority government. Who's left to ask? What do we, you know? It seems like she just wants to know where the people are at. So we're going to do these panels. Did you hear about the panels?
What panels?
The Alberta Next panel. They're supposed to do all over there and figure out where the public temperature is at on stuff. They're talking about maybe banning immigration and shit like that. Kind of like Quebec's doing. So I don't know but it's like, why are we talking about doing all this stuff? If we elected a government that ran on this and now they're in power, we shouldn't still just be, you know, talking about doing this stuff. It should be fucking doing, we should be moving towards it. We're just talking about voting on it all the time and running on it so we can use it as a new thing to run on in the next election. Oh, if you vote us in, we'll do this. Like, come on. I mean, I like Danielle Smith too, but some of this shit gets a little bit frustrating.
I feel like just with a lot of this stuff, we're separated almost 50-50 on almost every issue anyways. Like, it's really the cities are ultra liberal. There's just almost what's the word I'm looking for? It's almost like a rift that cannot be fixed, that there's just like, we're just different. And there's two main differences, and we'll just never, ever, like, until we sort of figure out how to live in our separate areas, it'll never combine. It's like oil and water.
That's right. Speaking of which, Sir Scandinavian will be happy because he gets to produce the first band show.
At 33 minutes?
At 33 minutes. We got some person to thank our first monthly supporter at $22.22 a month on the A-list. Monthly.
Oh, I thought it was 33. That's why I said
the other 11 is on the Grammerica one. So, but if we add them together, it's 33. So it's 33 on the hour on 33 minutes. So we appreciate him signing up for that monthly and helping keep the show going. If you want to do that, of course, head over to a-list.ca and click on support.
Yeah, no ads.
No ads, no paywalls. Just us hustling away, hopefully giving you some news you can use. Do you want to go next?
Sure. I'm going to start it with this pretty good clip from Jasmine Lane. Kind of, she does a good job. She's got a couple Carney clips in here. And she's talking about after Carney's Trump whisper bombshell. And he's, you know, Carney's sort of pushing to get more in with the European Union. And I've got some other like stats on Europe and some problems with that whole thing after this. So
The second thing I'd say is that the way we're looking at this, and you'll hear more about this in the coming months, that the investments we're making in defense and security, broader security, given the new threats that Canada faces, I think those, we're not at a trade-off. We're not at sacrifices in order to do those. These will be net additive. In other words, more of this will happen in Canada. More of it will help build our economy at the same time as it improves our defense, and we'll get the benefits. The question is, as we move towards later in this decade, and depending on how the threat environment evolves globally, if we are moving to the higher and higher levels of defense spending because that's necessary, then we will have to make considerations about what less the federal government can do in certain cases and how we're going to pay for it. Those trade-offs, I'm going to give you false precision around this.
He's trying to say it. He can't say it. He's going to give us false precision. Have you ever heard of that? False precision around this. You know what he's going to say? You know what he wants to say?
False precision mean?
But those trade-offs happen towards the end of the decade into the next decade. And we will be much, much better informed. And if I can go back to Steve Chase's question, the social license element of that, there's going to be a very clear and open conversation about that based on facts and based on what Canadians want.
Okay, but for real though, what? So in 10 years, and not so much right now, but definitely within the next 10 years, man, what a future teller predictor this guy is. Holy crap, his entire book Values is about that, and every single prediction he's ever made has not come true. So I don't know how much I trust this, but either way, in 10 years, Canadians need to make sacrifices to meet military spending thresholds and confront new threats, which are what exactly? And sacrifices, which are no clue. So I'm just going to guess that what this means is about 10 years, probably most likely, this new crisis is going to be fabricated and you're going to be taxed higher. There's probably going to be less public funding because by that point in time, Canada will be a fully formed welfare state with absolutely no income. There's going to be more surveillance for the threats and your safety, and another blank check, obviously, to the global elite. That's kind of what I take from all of this. Also, was anybody else even just ever so slightly confused by Mark Carney and his rhetoric? And wow, I'm about to go off here. But before I do, you know, he ran this entire election campaign on how there isn't a problem at the border, there isn't a problem with Dr. Ruggs, and that the only problem we have, the only threat to our sovereignty is Donald Trump's tariffs. But then now he's saying, JK, there's actually a lot of problems. Canada's on fire. And to fix it, we need to throw money into the flames with all of these global organizations of which they do not keep publicly available data to track where that money's actually going.
A world that's more dangerous and divided. A time where the rules-based international, the global order, rules-based global order is under threat in a time when technological change is accelerating.
Interesting. He's saying my words there. He's admitting that the rules-based order is going out and he's speaking at the EU. I wonder who he turned to look at there when he said that.
And we really have two choices. This is a jurisdiction as a country in this circumstance. We can nostalgically look back and long for the old order to somehow return, or we can build a new one with purpose and partnership.
There you have it, folks. Mark Carney confirms that the new world order is here thanks to liberals voting him in, if that's actually true. Maybe he would have won anyway. And that, you know what? Don't be nostalgic about your past anymore, because it's never, ever coming back, because we are here. We are here. Wow, that makes me feel sick.
All right, so that's enough of that. But yeah, interesting that he's talking about having to, what did he say, suffer, or we're going to have to suck it up, basically, and make some sacrifices for our military spending. Well, how about you spend like $20 billion less on consultants, and that could take care of our military.
Money to the Ukraine.
Maybe or don't send money all over the place. Yeah, maybe stop your grifting and stop taxing us more.
our military instead of the Ukrainian one. I mean, there's a few points right there, right?
Yeah. And then, so just to say what, because he is partnering with Euro, there's some sort of like hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars partnering with this. And then I just thought, well, what's really going on in Europe? I mean, as if we want to become part of that collapsing rules-based order, which was really just, if you don't follow our rules, you're not going to be in the club. In a nationwide raid, 170 German citizens had their houses searched and their devices confiscated this morning. So, I mean, I predict this, I mean, this has got to be coming to Canada if we're going to get so tight with Europe. Why? Because they posted social media posts containing hate speech, or because they insulted a politician. Germany is a full-blown police state. That's from the shield maiden of the far right, Eva Vlardingenbrock. Yeah, I don't want to get into all the comments here. Germany is a collapsing state, collapsing industry, collapsing political class, and collapsing demographically. It would be best for Europe if the country were again broken up into small states so it could do the least harm to everyone else. And then so is the UK. I mean, it's just happening all over, right? And then there's this one here. Share this tab instead. This is a thread on the EU just widening the war on free speech. So yeah, this is not who we want to get more entangled with. The globalist regime in Brussels, the unelected elites, is rolling out heavy artillery to crush dissent. This isn't about disinformation. It's about silencing anyone who disagrees. Here's how they're doing it and how to fight back. To the slap trap, which is greenlit an EU directive to fight slap lawsuits, strategic lawsuits against public participation. Germany is weaponizing it, using this law as cover to expand state power over who can speak. In short, mass censorship. This is how tyranny dresses up in the language of freedom. The SLAP directive, sold as protection for journalists, will allow judges preemptively to shut down dissenting voices. I'm just going to zoom in a bit here so I can read it directly on that screen. And it's happening fast. The Merz government wants this passed into law this year. That's Germany again. So follow the money, follow the control. The EU's long game is centralization, digital currency, top-down capital control, borderless migration, erasure of national identities. Opposition is growing, so they're tightening the noose around speech before it spreads. I would agree with that. But it's not working. The people are waking up. Like leaders like Orban, Maloney, and Wilders are rising, and Brussels is deploying every tool they have. Slap laws, NGO cover, censorship fines, EU-funded media mouthpieces, just like Biden's Democrats. Enter Elon Musk and X. Free speech on X combined with tech like VPNs has cracked the regime's control grid. So the EU wants mandatory ID verification, reversed burden of proof, AI surveillance tools, and its digital authoritarianism. Now, I'm not necessarily buying that X is the solution to all this. I mean, that could be just another big trap. Why would supposedly free countries want to erect their own version of China's Great Firewall? And is that really anything resembling democracy? Of course not. It's soft totalitarianism socialists on both sides of the Atlantic now prefer and push. X is now the number one news app in the world. Governments are burning billions, propping up dying media, but it's too late. Once people find truth outside that, they can't go back. The good news, the opposition is real, it's growing, and America under Trump has told Europe no trade, no free trade without free speech. Brussels is panicking because they're losing. This isn't just a battle for facts, it's a battle for freedom. So that's what kind of concerns me about Canada just hitching wagons with Europe. I mean, it really is just, then we're just going to be enemies to the states on more levels than we are already. So the final thought, the EU thought they could censor their way into a monopoly of truth on truth. But in an age of open platforms, they're not open. Narrative control is dead. That's why they're so desperate to censor social media. But it's backfiring on them, and it's a new day. Well, I mean, that was a good thread, but I don't know. It might be a little rose-colored. I don't think the platforms are as open as he thinks.
No, and they don't seem to be getting opener. Is that a word?
Opener? Sure.
They don't seem to be getting more open. Well, this one might be a little older as well, but I feel like we'll play it anyway. This is just, what's her name? What is her name? U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, talking about the state of Canada and under Trudeau, when it was Trudeau.
Tell you is that the former Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau, was a train wreck. He was a train wreck and he was hard to work with for. I worked with him previously and in trying to build relationships with Canada so that we knew who was crossing our border, asking them to take back their citizens that were illegal here in this country. He was very hard to work with. He talked about to President Trump about setting up a fentanyl czar so we could deal with the drug issue, but wasn't willing to share criminal background information on individuals with us, wasn't willing to allow us access to some of their data systems that would tell us really who was trafficking a lot of the drugs, the cocaine, the fentanyl that was killing our children. I'll tell you is that the former Prime Minister of...
Oops. That was a decent one, eh?
Yeah. That makes sense, totally. I mean, here, let me follow that up with this. I was going to save it for next week, but I mean, sometimes I like to just play, like, I'll just switch my plan up because it kind of, then we can make a segment with both those. So this is just a quick reminder for anyone who believes Canada is not broken. The RCMP are aware of over 4,000 organized crime groups operating within Canada. Our government shut down the accounts of non-criminal Canadians who donated $5 to a cause they supported.
How many, to the RCMP, how many people do you estimate are involved in the production and distribution of fentanyl in Canada? Do you have like a ballpark estimate? Is it 1,000 people? Is it 10,000 people?
So what was that question again? How many people are involved in the production of fentanyl?
In Canada.
I don't have a ballpark figure on it.
So you have no idea how many people could possibly be involved in the fentanyl trade in Canada?
There's a significant group, a significant number of organized crime group. But if you're asking for a specific number, I can't give you a specific number.
How many organized crime groups are involved?
Over 4,000 organized crime groups in Canada, as assessed by the Criminal Intelligence Service of Canada.
4,000 individual organized crime groups, all with their own distinct leadership and membership?
That's correct.
How many?
There you go. That's pretty big for Canada, right? I mean, isn't that a lot for Canada? That's coming from the... What?
Canada's not very big. 40 million people.
I don't want to get into comments. I could just go on forever reading
comments. Well, on that note, here's another bust in Brampton. $23 million cocaine seizure at Blue Water Bridge leads to Brampton man's arrest. Brampton man. What do you think Brampton man's last name is?
I don't know, but did he sing when he was caught?
The driver, Karamveer Singh of Brampton, was arrested and turned over to the RCMP along with the seized narcotics.
Did you see that long list of drug busts, like the biggest in Canada, and they're all like really recent?
Yeah, they're all really recent and really newcomery, it seems like.
I'm like, what? How can we have gone to that? Like, none of those are from when I was partying.
So the bust occurred on June 12th when the truck from the United States was flagged for a secondary inspection at the Point Edward, Ontario port of entry. During a detailed search, CBSA officers, assisted by a detector dog, uncovered 161 bricks of suspected cocaine concealed inside 6 boxes in the trailer. The haul weighed 187 kilograms and carried an estimated street value of $23.3 million. Singh is facing charges including importation of cocaine and possession for the purpose of trafficking. The RCMP say the investigation is ongoing and is not ruled out further arrests. The safety and security of Canadians is our top priority, said Minister of Public Safety Gary Anandasangari. So there's another drug bust, yet another drug bust by a Indian national, or maybe not a national, maybe just a hanger rounder. And then I got this one. I'm not going to get into it too much. Just actually, look, Yeah, that's a different clip, I think. Right. So the CBSA, this is border agency investigating dozens of cases of potential Iranian officials allowed into Canada. The Canada Border Service Agency confirms it's investigating how dozens of suspected Iranian officials have been allowed to enter Canada, while three individuals have been issued deportation orders and another removed from the country. Some experts, meanwhile, are warning more should be done to prosecute former Iranian government and military officials living in Canada. So the remaining 66 investigations are ongoing. Meanwhile, 20 people have been reported inadmissible. Which is, you know, maybe it's a big deal, maybe it's not. I don't know. Remains to be seen, I guess, right?
Well, the point is there really wasn't a lot of good vetting going on, right? They seem to just literally have a porous border. And, you know, back in the day when you used to be, you know, actually you're not allowing criminals in or potential terrorists or whatever, it just seemed like that went out the window when they brought in millions instead of 100,000. I mean, when you increase it, how do you even monitor 10 times the amount of people?
And then you get stuff like this happening, you know, in Canada, in the city.
You don't know where to go. It's this way, guys. The walk to shame is this way.
How do you see how your feet feel?
Guys, the walk to shame is this way. Let's give them a spot. Walk to shame is this way. Let's show them where the walk to shame is. By the horse shit? By the horse shit? Behind the kitchen, guys. Come on. Come on. We need the light. Look at these beauties. Look at the walk of shame.
Who are just harassing this couple completely? But I guess it's all legal. You can just shout at people with a megaphone now.
Because they're Jews.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm the last guy to be defending anyone. But, you know, that don't seem right. You shouldn't have to worry about that walking around Canada.
No.
Anyway, you got anything? I'm done. Yeah. That was my last clip.
Okay, let's do this here because, you know, this is from 8 years ago. This is our new manager, president of Canada Health. I can't remember what her title is, but people were saying she's replacing Theresa Tam, but I don't think she is necessarily.
It survey at this position. Point in time. How many people?
But I want to play this just to give you some context. She's been in the climate business for a couple of decades, and now she's in our health business.
Survey at this point in time. How many people have heard the sentence, Canada's climate has changed at twice the rate, the global rate three times in the north? How many people have heard that? So typically, and this is a typical audience, about 90% of people have heard that sentence that has come from Canada's Changing Climate Report. But that's an indicator of the extent to which others have deemed that to be the truth. Earlier we were, someone was asking me, do you face skeptics in your role? And we do. So despite the fact that we find 90% on average.
Sorry, I know how painful this is, but we have to go through this. We have to play this minute and 38 to see what we're up against in 2025.
Average of people believing that and having the confidence in the science, there's not quite 90%, but a significant proportion of Canadians and global citizens who do not believe that and inform us of that view based on the number of dockets I sign off in a day indicating otherwise. So part of our responsibility, I think, in terms of the context in which we operate and live is making sure that we communicate at every possible opportunity what the facts are and engaging with people that we don't necessarily are normal interlocutors in order to be able to move forward effectively on the issue. So I guess those would be some of the reflections on the issue.
Yeah, you've been doing that. That's for sure. I mean, you guys have been communicating through all your web of NGOs and your corrupt politicians and all that. I mean, if I ever start seeing that many ahs and ums, you got to tell me. If I was her, I would be taking courses in public speaking. So then this is what happens, right? I mean, I'm just going to provide an example here of this is the bullshit that's happening. My home insurance just went up 34%. This is contrarian tribe. This is insane, jacking up prices like crazy in the name of climate. So now here we are 8 years later. My house insurance just increased by $600 from $1,750 to $2,357. I live in a 2,000 square foot house on a 25 foot wide lot. I've never had a claim in my life. You try to live within your means, and every time you turn around, you're being hit with massive cost of living increases. I mean, that's a great example, right?
Yeah.
Climate change, $600 a year. Boom. There you go. That's not part of all the inflation measurements, is it? It's just infuriating based on a lie because of these politicians and these public sector workers that are pushing it. Oh, it's just, it's infuriating.
Well, I got bad news, buddy.
It's not going away.
It's not going away.
No, I know, dude. I mean, this is the thing. It's, we are in this battle. This is it's the eternal struggle. Yeah.
What can you do? We got another one. Another one.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's just close it off with Marty from up north.
Marty, I think he's heading up to. Look like his camp burned down or something.
Yeah. So this is why Canada is in such financial trouble. Payroll in employment in April decreases. So this is April 2025, I'm assuming. Decreases in 9 sectors and increases in 3. We're shifting We're shifting to an economy based on people who don't produce anything. 2 out of every 5 worker in this country are employed by government. 40% of our population are leeches sucking the life out of our country and their children's future. And here's the graph here. Health and social going way up, monthly change in payroll, public administration, education services, finance and insurance, and then construction just barely a blip, wholesale trade just barely a blip, and then forestry, real estate, management of companies, mining, all that's down. All that's minus to manufacturing, which is at the bottom at like 7,500 change in minus 7,500 and retail not looking good. Transportation, warehousing not looking good. I mean, it is, that's a really, really good visual right there of the collapse of Canada.
It's like a weird Fibonacci sequence, destruction.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, we appreciate you guys tuning in. We hope you liked our lowdown report, the one that got us our first kick off YouTube. I did look into the thing. It says it's not a strike, so the channel's not impacted. So we'll see what happens. We'll
keep your soft guns to yourself.
Don't touch that shit. Don't show that shit live, at least. Is the word you're going to blow your brains out or something, I guess. But head over to a-list.ca if you want to support us or subscribe in podcast form. Like, subscribe, comment, and share this. The YouTube stuff would be great. Check out grimeamerica.ca for other podcasts. grimeamericaoutlaw.ca for another podcast. adultbrain.ca for all sorts of audiobooks, ebooks, and print books. And what am I missing? Is that it?
I think so.
Yeah. I said, we love you guys. Thanks for listening.
After weekend probably, yeah.
And we'll see you after a long weekend, yeah. Maybe a Canada Day special. Destruction.
Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never political anyhow. Since when did you start trusting in the government? Since when was it okay to ridicule and shame your neighbor? Your opinions have become as fickle as artificial flavors. What matters most to you? What the TV host told you to do, or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. Who's gonna kill this sacred cow? You were never religious anyhow. Since when did you kiss the ring on the hand of the Pope? Since when do we need pharmaceuticals to cope? Your soul has become ever-loving soul has become as brittle as communion wafers. What matters most to you? What the Holy Ghost told you to do? Or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. I'm gonna kill. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. Bureaucrats think I'm non-essential anyhow. Since when has our culture become so lowbrow? It's all touchscreens, and nobody has any know-how. Your idea of fun, your idea of fun is taking 1,001 photos of your duck face. Matters most to you what the celebrity's post told you was cool, or a moral compass that points true north, oh true. I'm gonna kill this sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your 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 sacred cow. I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill, I'm gonna kill your sacred cow. I'm gonna kill your sacred cow.